Dino was telling me, he took out the stroller, took out the little one for a walk the other day, and they went and got a coffee as well on the way. And apparently, right, I don't know, maybe this is a cap, right? Because, you know, this is, you know, evidence. I don't have any, like, first-hand evidence, but he saw his, one of his heroes, actually,
yep,
and one of our heroes as well, Cal Toomey,
yes,
right? And that's, you know, getting a coffee, right? And that's cool, but, like, what makes it interesting, right? He was talking to a guy who's, you know, a bit in demand, a bit of a free agent going around, you know what I mean? Questionable haircut. But, you know, he was talking to Darcy Parrish from Essendon. Ooh. So, I don't know. Maybe, look, man.
Can I ask a dumb question? What is Cal Toomey talking to Darcy Parrish for? Like, he's obviously not involved in the list. Is he trying to get some information?
100%.
Trying to, so what, so he can talk about it on Gettable or something like that? Or
look, I've got a
give him some advice.
I've got a little theory, right? Basically, so he's one of the best newsbrokers around, right? Mm-hmm. I can players go up to him and be like, hey, Cal, I need you to give out this type of information because that might help me with my contract talks or this and that. I honestly think that he gives us some insider information. I think he's probably mates with the guys as well.
Mm.
Let's be fair.
He's like a respected guy.
Yeah, man. Like he's a mad dog. So I reckon, you know, him and Darcy, they're conjuring up a little contract
extension. We should expect something from Parrish's management soon.
Yep, exactly. When he requests a trade, you know, you heard it here first.
I would not be surprised if he goes to another club. Because he seems like a little bit out of favour. And like Essendon is one of those teams that's trialling a lot of different players through the midfield at the moment.
They are.
Durham, what's his name?
Perkins. There's another one as well.
What's his name?
The Caldwell.
Caldwell is the one that escapes me. Right? So those three players are getting lots of mid time. Ben Hobbs isn't even getting any mid time.
True. And right? he was a top 10 pick, you know.
So they
top
want to see what he can do. Obviously, Merritt needs time there.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that he goes to another club. I think people would give him, you know, the keys to a midfield that, you know, like even, I don't know where he's from originally, if he's a Melbourne boy.
Oh, I think he is.
He probably is, right? Like, you probably wouldn't want to go to West Coast or anything like that, but.
No, but they don't need him. They got the best midfielder in the land anyway, you know. I'm Harley Reid, so, you know, they don't need to chase. That's it. They don't need to, you know, chase any other midfielders. But, yeah, anyway.
What's with Dino always finding those little cheeky, he sees players with covers all the time, mate.
I don't know, man. He's just.
He's like to his little one, yeah, let's go for a little stroll. Let's go see some outside. It's not for the kid.
Yeah, no, true.
It's not. It's for him, man, so he can find.
Yeah, he's not the most out, like, you know, go out type guy. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like every time he does go out, he sees someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People just gravitate towards Daddy Dean.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Daddy Dean's got a future in the AFL media, man, I'm telling you.
I reckon, mate, he's got the temperament.
Yeah.
He's got the vibe. I don't. But, you know, like, I feel like, you know, when Dino comes back, this is the platform to, you know, send him off into the AFL stratosphere.
We're like a little trampoline and we're just going to bounce and just go.
That's it. We're just filling time in the meantime while he's got father and
while he's raising children.
Yeah, that's it, man. But, yeah, no, we should probably go on to some footy. And the first game, it feels like ages ago now, the Thursday, Gold Coast. They went to town on Geelong, I'll tell you that, man.
162 points they kicked on them, man.
I think that's the 164, most, actually.
Was it?
Mate, plus two, can you believe it?
Those two make a big difference.
Absolutely, man. You can't discredit them, mate.
That's true.
Don't undersell this victory. That was a 64-point victory.
Yeah, that's massive. And, well, isn't that crazy how they kicked 164 points, but Geelong still managed to get 100? Which is actually,
yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
It's actually good scoring.
That's one of the highest scoring games probably ever. But it's probably this year, must be, surely.
100%.
But yeah, it was just, mate, Geelong, they rested all these dudes. Like, come on, man, what are you doing? Like,
I thought that was an absolute shoo-in for Gold Coast.
Really?
I had no doubt in my mind. I would have bet the house I don't own on that victory. And I was the only one in my tipping comp to tip them for some reason.
That's good.
But like how...
Even your brother Bilbo didn't pick him.
Even ChatGPT didn't tip him, man.
Far out, man. Jeez. Because Bill... I know, the ChatGPT, you think that they'd, you know, they'd be on that.
The new version of ChatGPT out, still couldn't predict them. But like with so many, like Cameron not playing, Dangerfield not playing, Hawkins, Duncan, Sam DeConing not playing, in the super heat of Darwin, where Gold Coast had won five straight, now they've won six straight there. With the potency of their midfield, I thought that was an obvious victory. But like they spanked him, man. That's crazy.
They did spank him, man. But yeah, like finally, what's his name? Lukosius, man, as well. He was due for a big one.
He was.
There's another reason why, you know, it was always going to be Gold Coast.
He was.
I don't think Geelong ever cared about this game.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I honestly think they did not care. They're just like, let's not get too hot. You know what I mean? Like, let's just not get injured. You know what I mean? Like, their heads weren't in it, you know? Like,
well, that's the third game they've lost in a row. From going 6-0.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Do we have to readjust our sort of, you know, thoughts of them? You
I
know?
Think like, we do.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree. One interesting thing, right? I'm just looking at some stats right now. Tom Stewart, I heard about this, right? No marks.
Really?
0 marks. 21 disposals, 0 marks, 1 tackle.
That's crazy, man.
This is Mr. Mark.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
This guy knows how to mark.
This name, his middle name is Mark. Tom Mark. Tom Mark Stewart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, it probably is, man. It's very, you know, it's a common name. Common middle name, Mark.
It's possible.
Marky Mark. But anyway, he just didn't, he couldn't take a mark. That just shows what a weird game this was.
Yeah,
you know
I also think like they were so precise inside 50 that it just didn't allow for intercepts, right?
True.
Because
true.
Like even, like we're talking core clearances and that type of stuff was kind of similar. But the Gold Coast is spread around the ground with speed and precision. Like there was no intercepting ability. They just bang, 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 goal. So yeah, it was quite fun to watch actually. It was a bit of a procession. But it is good to see high scoring game. And, you know, even though Gold Coast was extremely impressive, Geelong did find their opportunities and abilities to kick some goals as well, which was strange. But yeah, I just think a lack of pressure from Geelong. Maybe they just couldn't handle the conditions. I don't know. But like Gold Coast was on a 5-day break and they still managed to
But I guess, you know, that it does help that they didn't need to travel because they just stayed in Darwin.
That's true.
They've acclimatized. You know what I mean? Whereas Geelong,
they've been out on the beach, you know, getting some sun.
100%. You know, they know that humidity very well, the dewy weather. 100%. And something I just realized, they're in the top 8 now, man.
Yeah.
112%.
I think this is their best start to a year, along with like 2014 with Gary Ablett.
Well, that's crazy. Well, you know, let's be fair. The Gary Ablett years at Gold Coast, as much as we watched, I watched every week to watch Gazza, but like, not much was going on, mate. Let's be fair.
No. He was carrying the whole team. Now they've got an even spread. So.
Yeah, it was like Gary Ablett and Nathan Bock. Like, what are you expecting? You
know? Was Bock there?
Yeah, Nathan Bock went there, bro. Remember Nathan Bock?
Who is the second best Gold Coast player ever?
Took Miller. Easy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. Look, do you want to get like finesse and start telling me like the key defender? What's the guy's name? His name escapes me. The key defender. The one that they got from the VFL.
I don't know,
their
man.
Main key defender.
Collins.
You know what I mean? Are you going to get finesse and tell me a guy like that? Nah.
It can't be Swallow either.
Nah. Look, he's been a good servant for him.
Hardbrow.
Yeah, nah. But yeah, anyway, man, they're top 8 right now. Like they're actually only a win away from Geelong all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Who would have thought
doing
that?
Well, I think they'll make the 8, man.
Look, you know what? You've been on Gold Coast, man. Historically on the pod, you're a Gold Coast guy.
I am a Gold Coast guy. And so, I also said at the start of the year they'll make the 8. So it's looking okay so far.
That's fair. All right. I think we'll go on to the next one. And this,
Is this the one where we just skip?
Yeah. Nah. This isn't the one we just skip. This guy cannot be the one we just skip.
All right. Let me see what I can come up with. All right. Yeah. So first thing is, coming to this game, I wasn't very confident that Carlton would beat Sydney. Because Sydney are the best team in the comp. But obviously, you're always hopeful that your team's going to come out and do something, right? And we start the game pretty strong. Kick a couple of goals. It's like, ooh, we're on.
I think it was the first 4,
Something like that, but Sydney still managed to kind of bridge the gap by into the first quarter. And that was when I actually left and went out. And I don't do that often, right?
Yeah, interesting.
But I'm just like, oh, I can't be bothered with this, man. I don't think it's going to happen. And then I left. I drove up to Northcote and check the scores, and they've caught up and they've taken the lead around halftime. And then I see Wiedering, he's subbed out of the game.
Yeah.
Shut the phone out, man. Don't worry about it. And it ended up being like a 60-point loss. So look, Wiedering, it makes a big difference to the team. I'm not saying we would have won with him. We wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's no surprise that it derailed significantly after that. But just Sydney's power through the midfield, their efficiency, there's just nothing bad about this team, man. So they showed us up. I don't think Carlton's a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, but they're just way too good, Sydney. And I don't think there's another team that's even close to them at the moment. And they've got Heaney.
Look at these compliments. I didn't expect that. I thought that was going to be the excuse train for me.
Nah,
today,
there's no excuse, man. They're way better than us. Like, that's just what it is, right? They've got the best player in the comp at the moment in Heaney. But they've also got a player called Chad Warner.
Who's ridiculous, bro.
He's ridiculous. He has those games like the one that he played against us where he looks like he's Superman.
Yeah. But the thing is, he looks like he's Superman, but he's also laughing. He's laughing at you while he's doing
it. He's like, a strange player. Like, he doesn't play like that every week, right? But he has these games where he plays, and is this guy the best player in the comp?
On, mate. He twists the ignition. You know what I mean?
It's the drive that he gets through his legs, man. Just like I sound like Dermot Brereton now, something like that. Mate, the drive that he lets
the way he moved the angles right there, and he ran through the two midfielders.
Yeah, that's right. He could just see how he just decided to take the game on,
and you knew that he was gonna get there. You know,
he just. You could just see he looked Wiedering right in the eyes and said, I've got you.
Yeah, mate, I'm going to give you a call. You know, I'm going to knee you right in the thigh. Yeah. You know, but yeah, he was spectacular.
I don't know what this guy's going to become, but I think next year he'll be the best midfielder in the comp.
Mm. Ooh. Yeah. You know what, man?
No other midfielder can do what he did, I think.
Butters is probably the closest to it just because of the speed and power through the contest. But Warner's stronger though, I reckon. Like he looks more.
He's like Dangerfield,
pretty much.
He's like Dangerfield. Pretty
much. Where do they get this guy? Right? I think it was a second round pick.
Was he academy or just a random player?
I can't remember if he was academy. To be honest with you,
if this guy was just a random player in the draft and they picked him up, I would be so pissed, man.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Because he's like at the moment, it's crazy right now. But the midfield mix in general is just like because obviously you have the guys who we're talking like the Warners, the Heaneys, Gordon, right? But then there's Jimmy Jordan, right?
Yeah.
In this game.
We'll talk about him. Like Walsh started with the house on fire, kicked an early goal. He's had a great season so far. He's dominating the first quarter. But
sorry to cut you off. Chad Warner, Western Australian.
How? Where did he come from?
Bro, I don't know. Maybe did West Coast not have picks at that time? Was that the time where they traded all their picks for Tim Kelly and they didn't have one for Chad Warner?
Far out.
Can you imagine that Chad Warner and Harley Reid right now?
Yeah.
My God.
That's crazy.
Anyway. Or Frio, man. That's a Sarong and Brayshaw.
Yeah.
Fife could just retire. You know what I mean? You just get rid of Fife.
Yeah.
Legit. Like,
Far out, man. He's a special player.
Anyway, back to my boy Jimmy Jordan.
Well, yeah. So James Jordan tags Fife from the first minute, but Fife is dominating him early, right? Mm. Sorry.
Walsh.
All that talk of Fife. Mm. So Walsh is dominating in the first quarter, and then after that, he just shuts him out. They just put too much attention on him, and Walsh is out of the game.
Mm.
Cripps had it. They all battled hard. Carlton, in the midfield, they battled
brutal
hard.
Brutal midfield, as you've coined.
They are. Well, they tried, right? But they just. If Carlton's brutal, I don't know what Sydney are, man. They're like hulking or something.
That's true. They got like the Hulk symbol on fan footy.
Yeah.
But the thing I noticed with James Jordan, right, because Walsh still got some ball, right?
Yeah.
But he had no time to run it out the pack. It was just like as soon as he grabbed the ball, Jordan, tackle.
Yeah.
He was constantly bodying him around the contest in the right way enough to not give away a free kick.
Mm.
That was a special tagging performance.
Yeah, he's making a name for himself.
And he's doing it on multiple types. Yeah. He's not just doing it on inside.
Who did he do it? The week
Whitfield?
Before? Whitfield.
He's done it to Whitfield. I can't remember who the other one was, but I feel like he's been doing it on like mainly half backs up to this point.
Yeah.
Jordan Clark.
Yeah.
He did it to Jordan Clark. He shut him out. You know, and this week Jordan Clark went crazy.
Yeah.
He went nuts. So, you know.
That's a lot of versatility for a tagging role to be able to play on like a gun midfielder and then a gun halfback and have influence either way. And what an advantage that is to Sydney, who already have all these weapons. They shut out the opposition's weapon as well.
Mm.
And then just give the ball to Chad Warner and he'll just like run it like it's rugby for the whole game.
That's
just
try. Legit. And then you know what? I made that comment when I was watching the game. He's literally playing rugby.
Yeah.
He's not playing footy, man. No. That's something else, bro. Like touch footy or whatever it's called, you know, tag, gridiron type shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, they're scary right now. They're scary right now. Are they two games clear?
Yeah, they are.
That's, come on, man. They're the team to beat. They're the yardstick at the moment, really.
Mm, without a doubt.
I think
who's the next game? Is it
Collingwood? Next game is Collingwood,
yeah. Well, I actually think that Sydney and Collingwood are, so far, the two scariest teams in my mind. If it was finals right now, those would be the two teams I'm scared of the most.
And that's fair enough because I feel like Collingwood, they haven't had like a full, like proper team, if that makes sense. Like they've always had a couple guys in, a couple guys out. Like they've run Crisp through the middle now.
Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah, out of necessity because was it Tom Mitchell and DeGoey missed time. And all of a sudden, the power running through and the overlap, it's so dynamic. So yeah, like,
they're back to their best for sure. Mm. So
I think Crisp needs to stay there. I don't care about Tom Mitchell. It wouldn't bother me if he didn't get another game.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think he's needed.
Yeah. You know what? He's probably a better option than Lockie Sullivan right now
mid.
But does
Sullivan play mid though?
Yeah. He does play a lot of – he doesn't get a lot of time on ground, weirdly enough, but he does play the inside mid.
Okay.
It's just – they've got the mix right. And Sidebottom has been just fine as a defender, you know. not as prolific as he was the week before, but this week at the very least, he didn't look out of place. Like he made a few spoils. You know, he's a smart footballer. He's always gonna get it right. Let's be fair. You know, he's always gonna figure it out.
100%. This game, right? I was watching it early and I was like, oh, it's just gonna be another boring game where Collingwood would get on top. Right. And then Adelaide find a way to claw back, say third quarter, and then they have the momentum in the last quarter. And they make it a really interesting second half, right? And, you know, they're storming home in the last quarter. Jordan Dawson, we'll get the ranking.
Yeah, they're good.
Dawson is playing like that kind of captain-like performance that he does often where he's intercept marking a lot and getting back in. So contestant mark, Jordan Dawson, contestant mark. Whenever he does that, I feel like Adelaide gets their momentum going, right? Rankin he's been amazing all year, easily going to be All-Australian.
Yeah,
had five clearances in the last quarter. Then he kicks that goal from the boundary to put him in front with 7 minutes left. And you're like, what can't this guy do? And then Collingwood, in their typical Collingwood fashion, finds a way to make one play in the last like minute or something where it's a smother to, was it Crisp, to Dacos, to Jordan, to go. He kicks the goal. And it's like, again, they do it. Annoying. Yeah. You know, they've got Adelaide's back. Like, they've beat them like, what, four times?
I think it's like four or five of the last times they've versed them within a goal.
Yeah.
Something crazy like
How
that.
How annoying is that?
Right in front of me type stuff. You know what I mean? You'd be pissed. Yeah. Excuse me. Like, the thing, what's your thoughts on the too many steps?
Yeah, so Rankin gets the last clearance again. It's like if there's one player to do it, it's him. He's out. And then the umpire calls him for running too far. Like, come on, man. Like, who pays that?
That's the thing. It never gets paid.
Yeah.
It never gets paid. And when it does, you're just like, that rule exists.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing that gets me about it, right, is kick-ins, right? When the dude runs out of the box, the box is about 10 meters. They run up until about the 30-meter mark, right, without bouncing it, consistently. And it never gets called. It never gets called. But this time where the game is on the line, running down the wing, this is like, attractive football. What can we say? You know what I mean?
It's sexy as, man. Anytime Rankin touches the ball, it's sexy.
It is attractive football. And this is what we want to see. This is must-watch TV. He's running up on the wing, 20 seconds to go. All of a sudden, you call that there.
Look, where's the sense of occasion? I mean, looking at it, I didn't see any problem. Like, I didn't think that was too far. Now, they went back and measured it and it was too far. But I tell you what, the amount of times people run too far.
Exactly.
Like, why call it? Anyway, I don't know. We don't know whether that would have made a difference to the game or not.
Yeah, look, it probably did.
Probably didn't because they kind of didn't know that was a call and they were like fighting for the ball in the 50. Yeah. There wasn't a clear.
They looked like, oh, was there holding on the Adelaide player? But that's never going to get called in the 50 like that. They don't give away 50 forward line, free kicks to seal off games. They especially against Collingwood. It's not happening.
Yeah, it's a rough way to lose for Crows, but
they're playing
decent football. They're just not consistent enough.
100%. Look, I think it's hard to say they're not consistent enough because in this game they took it to one of the best teams in the league. I don't really want to give them the inconsistent tag,
but
they started the season bad.
Yeah.
Now they're on the way up. This is what they got to provide week in, week out from now on because the start of the season was just, that was a write off, man. Yeah, that was crazy. But the midfield mix is just, It's beautiful right now, man. There's so many dudes that they're rolling in there and they're all good, you know. Saligo, Crouch, Rankin getting that, you know, that 20-30%.
What a point of difference is made, huh?
Yeah, Lairdy, they're just... we do need to mention Pendlebury in this game as well. Midfield masterclass from a, 45-year-old.
Can this guy just stop, man?
I know. He's ridiculous.
I don't think I can take another year of Pendlebury, man. I'm happy for side bottom to go. In fact, I'd prefer it. Because I'm sick of side bottom. I'm sick of that bald head. I'm over him, right? But Pendlebury, look, from like Collingwood supporters would say they want him to go forever, probably. He's a champion of our game, but I'm just sick of him, man. Go away.
Go away.
Go away, bro, honestly.
Like, nah, you know, I know what you mean. It's just like, man, can you imagine if it's like if Cripps kept on playing forever and ever. It's like he's still, you know, breaking through packs. Everyone, like,
stop, man.
Just stop, bro.
I've got the same issue with Zorko, which I'll talk about later, but it's like, stop, man. There's got to be a time where you just stop dominating games.
Man. Exactly, man. Everyone, like, look, as a North supporter, I don't have a player over 30 in my team that I like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And these guys have a 38-year-old. Is it Ranning? Oh, it must be Ranning.
Yeah.
There's some little, little sound effects that you might be able to hear right now. Yeah, probably not.
Soothing sound effects.
That's it, ASMR, right? But in saying that, these mics, they don't pick up any background noise, man.
Yeah, someone could be murdered in the background that you wouldn't know.
I know, exactly, man. That's why we picked these ones. yeah, look, that was an excellent game, man. That was a good one. That was probably the best game of the round. I take that back. There's one later on that was crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that GWS,
they've been found out, man.
Yeah. Like what happened? Like the tsunami's become a wave pool, mate. What's going on here?
They've lost
like,
four out of their last five games, man. From being flag favorites to losing four out of the last five.
Yeah, they were unplayable at one point. Mm. Like it's odd, man. What's going on, man?
I don't know what it is from a coaching perspective, like opposition coaches, but they found a way to stop their transition game. That tsunami that you've talked about becoming like a wave pool.
Yeah.
They've stopped that.
The waves have crashed. Yeah. They're just like sizzling on the, you know, to the
power's
shore.
Out and they can't generate the waves. Like you've seen Whitfield get tagged in the past, so they're finding ways to try stop their run. He was good this match, but I just, all of the commentary.
He was good because of the kick-ins, bro.
Yeah, that's right.
Him and Himmelberg just had like, because the what was it, 22 behinds, bro.
But did you know, we'll talk about that, but did you notice how the Giants could not get creative at all about how they kicked the ball out from defense?
Which is weird.
Just to packs, all to packs. There was no slicing and dicing.
Mm.
So they're a little bit of lack of creativity, or they've just lost their ability to transition. And then you go to the Dogs, who, credit to the Dogs where credit's due, they actually played a pretty tough game.
Mm.
Like, we've called them flat track bullies. They've lost some games they shouldn't lose, but this was actually a pretty tough victory.
Yeah, 100%.
They won the ball out of the midfield. They managed to lock it in. They defended transition well, which they've always been bad at. For years, they've been terrible at that. Mm. And they probably could have destroyed Giants if they didn't kick, what was it?
Yeah, 8-22.
8-22, have you ever seen that?
That's crazy.
Seven posters, man.
Maybe the AFL's like, look, man, like we know that you're going to win. Just don't make it look so bad for our boys in Western Sydney. Don't make our investment look this bad, man. Come on. I don't know, man. It's odd. Look, GWS, they have to reconvene. What do they have to do, man? Back to the drawing board. Figure it out, man. Like, because I enjoy playing. I enjoy watching them when they're good, man.
Where's the manic pressure, I think? Like, what's...
Yeah, I don't know.
Do they have a key player? Like, Kelly didn't play.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else that's like glaringly obvious missing that has an impact on that stuff? I don't know.
Look, I feel like their best two midfielders are Green and Cox.
Yeah.
And neither of them really set the world on fire. You know what I mean? I'm gonna sneak over to their injury list just to maybe get an idea of what's missing. But like, it's nothing obvious off the top of my head. So like,
I don't think there's anything crazy.
All right, so Lockie Ash goes out, and that's a bit of creativity coming out of the back line. Sure. But I don't think he's like...
No.
Yeah, I don't think that changes everything, because you still have Himmelberg, you still have Whitfield as good, you know, options coming out the back. Callum Brown is suspended, good player, good music choices as well after his goals. So Kelly and Ash calves, that sucks. Braden Pruce is out.
I forgot he even existed.
Yeah, he's still on the list, man. He's still on the list. Oh man, I'm so glad we got. Like, I'm glad that he left in the end. Like, for a second, I thought as a North fan, oh man, we lost a good one.
I'm kind of scared. Like, Braden Pruce, I wouldn't want to fight that guy, man.
No, he's honestly scary. He, like, just the shape of his head.
Yeah.
It's like he looks like an evil superhero type vibe. Yeah. I don't know what it is, man.
If they put him in like a serial killer film, I'd have nightmares for the rest of my life.
Yeah, like, look, in 30, 40 years' time where I haven't watched any footy, if I, like, watch one of those, like, serial killer icebergs videos, you know the iceberg videos?
Yeah.
They go through them all. If I see Braden Pruce up there, I'm like, you know.
He's actually, like, a genuinely scary-looking dude, man.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's a nice guy and he's a generous person and he doesn't hurt anyone.
Man. I'm not so sure, man.
You reckon? You reckon
the amount of injuries he causes other players.
No, man. You're right. He's a bit of a butcher, man. And to himself.
Yeah.
And to himself, man.
Double-edged sword.
Yeah, true.
So I don't know exactly what's wrong with the Giants, but they got to get their mojo back, man.
Yeah, and to the Dogs, man, like, credit to them. All of a sudden, are they in the eight? Let's have a look. Let's have a little look-see. They're a game out of the eight. But you know what? When the percentage is 126.
Yeah, that's huge. How to beat bad teams. They smashed Richmond last week.
Oh, true. You know, well, yeah, maybe they're back. Maybe they're getting the midfield mix right. We got this. One thing that disappointed me a lot about this game, right, is so we have Darcy Jones, right?
Mm.
Not an exciting player, gets injured in the first quarter.
Yep.
Right? So there's one helmet gone. And then we got the other helmet late in the fourth.
Yeah.
Couldn't we have like a moment of the two helmets together? And now because this Darcy Jones has done a hammy, Caleb Daniels probably not going to play another game for the rest of the year. We might not get it. We might not get it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of pissed that we didn't get some helmet on helmet action. That sounds bad.
Look, I didn't think of the helmet on helmet action, but you're right.
Yeah, and the thing is they're both small as well.
Yeah.
So it would have been sick to see. But
it would have been great.
Anyway, opportunity missed. You know, see, another reason I don't like Bevo, man. He made Daniel the sub. Come on, man. What was your sense of occasion?
Yeah, I think we weren't so surprised that he was the sub, man, given that. Like, I reckon Bontempelli will be sub next week for all we know.
Probably.
All right, do we go to the next game?
Yeah.
Kill the Frio.
St. Kilda, Freo, yeah. No, we don't really speak too much about this one. What's there to speak about, man? This is the Saturday night games, Dino said it. He's like, I'm not going to watch games on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I organized to go out last night because, like, honestly, like there was not much to watch. Shout out to my mate Chris who got like some box seats.
To that game. He must have loved losing.
Mate, he's filthy. He's filthy.
What's he saying about the Saints at the moment?
Max King sucks. You know, there's nothing there. Play the young guys. It's just, yeah.
Nah. They're playing the young guys.
Oh, no, they are.
I do have one thing to say about St. Kilda.
Yeah.
Paddy Well.
Hey, nice. That goal, though.
Nice goal.
That goal was nice, man. That's the highlight of the game, really, for the St. Kilda perspective.
What's interesting about these teams, if you want to say something that's interesting about St. Kilda Freo, they're both like restricting scoring teams, right? So they both play that kind of arm wrestle footy where they don't necessarily score a lot, but the opposition doesn't score either. So when both of those teams that play that type of game style come against each other, it's interesting to see who actually comes out on top.
Mm.
But for me, Freo was always the most likely team. They just look more potent.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know if potent is the right word. They're probably potent out of the midfield.
Yeah.
But the forward line potency,
no.
That needs addressing. It was 9-18.
Yeah.
So they could, similar to the game prior to this, it could have been a smacking.
It could have.
You know
been.
What I mean? They just didn't really take that opportunity, but it doesn't really matter. You come to Melbourne and win, you don't really complain.
No, definitely not. Look, I think they're clearly better than Saints. But the thing about Saints is like Ross Lyon had talked about maybe having a bit more of an attacking flair this week because they scored only 50 points against the Hawks and they scored 55 points again. They can't score. I've talked like shit about Freo not being able to score. These guys are even worse.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's true, man. That's true. Like, I don't know what it is with the St. Kilda because they've got, I guess, like if Max King's not firing, who's their other forwards, man? Membry, like I feel like he has a good month and then he just disappears.
Yeah.
You know.
They got Filippo. Filippo,
but he's bad, you know.
Caminiti's out of form.
Yeah, you can't be relying on Caminiti. Let's be fair.
Sounds like good games.
But like, what's it called? It was Jack Hayes against North who, you know, really opened up their forward line. Last week, he got subbed early. And now this week, he didn't play at all. He got dropped. So I'm like, do they just need to, you know, chuck him back in there? Because at least he was, you know, providing an option. He was making leads against North, which honestly, the forward line opens. The fence or forward line sort of opens up against North. I don't know how to explain it, but it always seems to happen.
Yeah,
maybe it's because you know
it's of the easy turnover to look good against North, man.
Yeah, no, you know it's the turnover. Like let's for being you know mature about it, it's the turnovers.
I think you mentioned Clark earlier.
Mm.
Man, that guy's become a player. He was always going to become a good player.
Yeah, but to be honest,
he's broken out this year. I think.
Yeah, but so I didn't realize he would be this prolific, you know what I mean? I just thought he'd be, the pacey type of guy, bit of a, you know, pacey guy on the wing, you know, he'll do a few flashy plays, Lewis Jetta type vibe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought he was going to be that type of guy, but now he's a proper dashing halfback. And, when you got him and Ryan as, you know, distributors, I think it's good because it's like you have one who's the smaller guy who has the pace. Mm. And there's Ryan who...
In
the air. He's not tall, but he plays huge.
Yeah.
So, man, they've got it down pat back there, which is nice.
I also like to see, like, Luke... I mean, Ron Marshall had a good game, but I think Luke Jackson still had a pretty strong midfield performance, 10 clearances as a ruckman.
Yeah, true, yeah.
I really like Luke Jackson in the ruck, man. I don't... Like, it's kind of a low-hanging fruit to talk about Luke Jackson and Sean Darcy combo, but...
Mm.
I much prefer Jackson in the ruck, man. I just think that played better. So.
Fair enough. But and see, you're a big Darcy guy. You love watching him play. I feel like you always pick him in Supercoach, apart from this year.
I like Darcy, but I think Jackson is the better ruckman moving forward.
That's fair. And I guess...
Send the sausage, man. Send Shrek somewhere else.
Send Shrek somewhere. Where should he go? What's the option for Shrek?
I don't know. Who needs a good ruckman?
I'm trying to think because he's a Victorian boy, I'm pretty sure. there's like going through the teams in my head. I don't know. Maybe Essendon. To be honest,
well, they're the first team that came to my head.
Yeah, like because Draper's cool, but like if you got Darcy, you'd send him packing. You know what I mean?
I don't think Draper's that good, man.
Yeah, I think he's flashy, but he just hasn't. But then you're gonna get an injury. You're gonna replace an injury prone ruckman with another injury prone ruckman. Are you really gonna do that? I don't think so.
Well, Goldstein won't play more than 1 year. You don't think? Or do you reckon he'll keep going?
He might do another year, but I'm more saying because Draper's always injured. Are you gonna get another guy that's always injured in Darcy? You know, I don't know. Like, there's probably better options in. Oh, maybe there isn't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
They probably just keep Darcy on their list anyway. They only got two ruckmen anyway.
Yeah. Apparently, for Freo, they got a guy called Liam Reedy, another ruckman who's apparently pretty decent, does it right in the waffle.
You're right.
So, I don't know. That's just the name that I've heard. Because earlier in the season, when Darcy went out, he was a rumor to maybe play alongside Luke Jackson, but that didn't end up happening.
Fair enough.
But yeah, anyway, we'll move on to. Actually, we won't move on to that game. So, and actually, no, not the next game. We won't talk about that one either. Nah. Look, yeah, Brizzy just Zorko. It's the Zorko show.
What is Zorko doing winding back the clock? 35 years old, getting 40 possessions every game.
Him and Pendles, just go home. Get some sleep.
Yeah.
Get some, Gavin, you know, hang out with your family.
I made the comment.
Do you guys not have families?
Go and raise your grandkids, Zorko.
Exactly. Raise your grandkids. No, legit, like, you know, do some gardening. Yeah. You know what I mean? Play some golf. You know what I mean?
Read a book.
Read a book, man. You know, catch up on some philosophy. You know what I mean? So, but look, Zorko, like, man, he's prolific at the moment.
He is. He's a perfect halfback, man.
He is, man. Is your mic right? Like,
it's all right, man.
You got to spin the little thing there. There you go. That's the one that keeps it. No, good, man. Did you watch this game?
I didn't. No. Yeah. There's nothing to watch when you know that Brisbane is up 60-0 in like the first 5 minutes. It's like, it's done. There's nothing to see. But what do we really like? And when you win by 120 points, everyone in Brisbane looks good and everyone in Richmond looks bad. And I think they had some more injuries as well, Richmond. So, look, if I was them, I'd probably write a letter to the AFL and just say, look, we're going to forfeit the rest of the season. I'll see you next year.
Look, that can't happen because I want the number one pick. You know, let's make that clear. Josh Smiley in this draft is looking like Paddy Cripps.
Right.
Like, I'm telling you, he's like a 195 centimeter, like, you know, quick, you know, what's it called? Dancing step type midfielder. They don't come up very often at all. You know what I mean? There's probably like, who else? There's Cripps and Bont in the league who do that at that height.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like Bont isn't quite like as British as Cripps is. I think Smiley, he's more in the Cripps big boy mold.
I like it.
It's going to be a mat. I'm looking forward to getting him, right? Anyway.
Well, anyway, I think Richmond might be looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, true. We got some competition. Well, look, if they get their players back, they should win a couple games by the end of the year.
Hopefully.
But that's pending Taranto, you know, Lynch, all of them. I think Grimes has been out, maybe. Is Grimes?
They've got like 10 or more, like best in two players out. So,
yeah. Look, anyway.
I think we just move on from that. I don't think there's anything to say, man.
Yeah, nah, not at all.
Do better.
Yeah, 100%. Look, so Essendon versus North. And here's an interesting one, right? Like, I feel like last week we gave Essendon a bit more flowers. We gave him a bit more recognition. A quote from Dino: if you guys are going to play like this come season's end, you're not going to win a final, was he saying. Obviously, they won by 40 points. Yeah. This is against North, right? We beat them in the midfield. Our midfield looked actually pretty decent, you know. I guess Cherry is going to dominate Goldstein. Let's be fair. It was kind of cool to see what was, you know, that was happening during training sessions. Yeah. But now we get to see it, you know, on the big stage. And it makes sense. It makes sense why we moved on from Goldie. And, you know, good on Goldie for finding a new club and he can extend his career. But it's Cherry's time, man. Mm. Cherry was huge, man. His physical presence was awesome. I went to that game with Dino and Zumi. And you know, you have to just find the positives like every week. Like, I feel like Zach Fisher looks better at the moment. Like, and I picked him in Supercoach, got him in draft. It's excellent, right? He looked, I think, because McKercher wasn't there, and McKercher was pretty much directly replaced by a 200 centimeter first gamer, right? He was directly replaced by a key defender. Yeah. The defense didn't look as just fragile, you know what I mean? And it meant that Fisher wasn't exposed a lot and he looked better for it, you know, which was good. Yeah. Will Dawson, he looked he got taught a bit of a lesson by Peter Wright, four goals, but he looked big. He didn't like Peter Wright didn't like outsize him much at all. You know what I mean? And this is like a, you know, a veteran player, you know, getting, you know, looking similar to a first gamer. So I'm happy with Will Dawson. He looked really good. You know, I think he's definitely one for the future. And he looked comfortable when he kicked the ball as well, which was good. So, look, Toby Pink went to the forward line, got himself a goal. What else is there to say? Shiesel and LDU, that was probably their best. So that was LDU's best game of the year.
Yeah.
And that was Shiesel's best midfield forward performance of the year for sure. He looked really a lot more comfortable there. To talk about Essendon, I don't really want to talk about him, bro. Like, I don't want him to be good. Guelphy had a good game.
Two in a row.
He's had his two good games for the season.
Yeah.
And then we won't talk about him.
Career.
Maybe. We won't talk about him again for a while, probably.
Yeah.
Look, shout out to Essendon. They did what they needed to do. They are accurate. They are super accurate.
But in terms of accuracy, like, what type of... Where were they taking their shots from? Because that's a big part of accuracy.
30 meters slight angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, you've got to get
football.
Exactly. As I was saying earlier, the forward line leading options and, you know, the routes into the 50 open up when you verse North. That's just is what it is, right? And they, you know, they did a good job with that. They actually had a few drop marks, so there could have been a couple more goals, but then they got gifted a couple as well. I'm not going to lie. So, you know, from bad umpiring. Not too much really for me to add on that game, to be honest with you. Like, Dersma had a nice couple moments. He kicked the goal from about 45, 50, you know, from the, let's say, 35 degree angle or something like that on the right. That was nice. He also had a nice little goal assist as well. So that was good to see. Other than that, I don't know. On to the next week for us. I think we've got a tough game next week. Who do we have? Is it Port and Tassie? Which might be. Wait, is it Port and Tassie? Nah. Yeah.
Port and Tassie.
Yeah, hey, danger game for Port. Because we'll move. I reckon we'll slide over to them, and they almost got done.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll dance our way around into that game.
Hawks looked like they were going to win it even up to 30 seconds left in the game. they didn't.
Bro, that was...
I would be so devastated if I was a Hawks supporter. That is the worst way to lose a game, man.
One thing, like, before, like, we talk about the game itself, right? So my mate Chris, right, our St. Kilda friend Chris, he does the gauntlet. Right.
All right.
He does the gauntlet, and I'm gonna see at what time there was a. So, it was about five. So this is 5:05 p.m. Turned it off. Right. He told me the theory. Turned it off. You know, says no rain on the radar. In Adelaide. And for some reason it buckets down.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, $1,000 gauntlet gone. Right. And then he's like, he sends a photo of him watching Melbourne Storm. Done with AFL, moving on.
He tipped Port.
Yeah, for the gauntlet.
Oh, wow.
Which was a gutsy pick. Ended up working out all right, but geez, man. I lost it, man. I lost it watching that game. That was good.
Yeah.
Not that I like seeing Port win, and I didn't really want to see the Hawks lose.
Yeah.
But, like, the spectacle of it was sick.
Oh, amazing. Look, credit to the Hawks. They've been playing some really good football, and they dominated Port for most of the game. Like, what was their lead at one point? 40 points, something like that?
Yeah, it was 40 plus, man.
And, obviously Port were always going to come and slowly finding a way to break down the lead.
Mm.
But there was this point about maybe 40 seconds left where they panned to Sam Mitchell and he looked a bit concerned, and the commentators were like, oh, Mitchell's still stressed out even though they've won the game. Like, they've got to win. Because they were 11 points up, bro, with 40 seconds.
It was about a minute 20 and 11. Are you sure?
Less, man.
I feel like it was
They kicked two goals in 30 seconds. So Houston bombs it into the 50, right? And by the way, Houston, what a performance. Three goals. One point where Port was playing terrible. They had three goals to Houston off the halfback and two goals to the Hornet. Like, mate, that's where they were getting their goals from.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, they're getting it from like a midfielder and a defender.
Yeah.
And a halfback.
He bombs it in. Free kick to Willie Rioli. Credit to Willie Rioli. Waste no time. It's about 30 seconds, 33 seconds. Walks in, kicks the goal, right? So you've got about 23 seconds left and to kick a goal. And then who do you rely on when you need to rely on anyone?
Mate, it's Zach Butters. You get Zach Butters' clearance. You kick it into the 50.
Scramble, 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 soccer
Darcy
goal.
Darcy Jones, you know, I'm trying to think what player does he remind me of? Curly head soccer player. He does a little bit of a Maradona.
That's
the first curly head football I can think of. Anyway, so he does a little cheeky Diego and, you know, he puts it into the back of the net.
Yeah.
And that's the game, man.
Two seconds.
That's
left
the game.
Something.
All right.
Crazy.
We need to acknowledge, right? My boy, Will Day, had a game.
He did. But one thing I'll say, I don't want to shit on your Will Day.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of things I'll say about Will Day.
Yeah.
First of all, we said, Will Day, get your shit together last week.
Mm.
Had a performance.
He did have a performance, so, mate. My boy's back.
Again, our shitting on a player and they come good the next week continues.
Mm-hmm.
But in that last clearance, who was Zach Butters on?
It was young Will Day.
Yeah.
He wasn't with that.
Got taught a little lesson. Nonetheless, though, great bounce back from him.
Mm.
Been an injury for a while and had a very strong performance. So
yeah, I think he needed that just to get his confidence back up in himself, in his body. But yeah, this is another game without James Sicily that they do very well, man.
Yeah.
They look very comfortable out there. I think it's disheartening for them and for fans because you need the nourishment of a win. You know what I mean? Shout out to Dave Noble on that one.
Well, if they won this, it would have been 4 out of 5 wins.
That's crazy. And then I was actually going to say, at what point do we say they're a finals chance? Because so many teams are. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's a good chance, but you could say if they'd won this, maybe they're like a 10-15% chance.
Mm.
Maybe, you know?
Look, it would be ridiculous if they made the finals, but...
Yeah, now I'd be happy to just go, you know.
Yeah, I think no.
Yeah.
It's good to see the Hawks playing good football. It's good to see them progress. You want every team to progress and, you know, show signs of improvement. And they're doing that. So a rough start to the season. Now they're building a bit of consistency. Mm. Yeah, that would be a shattering loss, though. That's crazy to lose that.
Yeah. Nah, that really is. That really is.
But Port love it like a close finish, though, don't they?
They do. Like, it's just, yeah. Well, it happened. What was it? Weren't they smashing Geelong? Or were they? How did the Geelong game go again? Were they getting... Man, I'm lost. I can't remember week to week.
Well, I just think
I'm in the moment right now for this game. This game was crazy. But I feel like it was a similar thing where it was like a huge lead and then Geelong brought it back.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I can't remember. But
they did.
You know what I mean? It's like they can only play one good half for some reason. That's just how they do it.
A bit like the Hawks, really.
Yeah, true.
Man, I love Butters, though. Like, your Will Day love is my Butters love.
Yeah.
Look, trust him to find a way to just, like, have a Superman last quarter.
Bad. Look, if anyone was to do it, it was him because Wines went out and Rozzy's not playing.
Yeah, Wines.
So they're relying on just him, Horn Francis also had an excellent game.
He's a gun.
It's a shame to say he's a gun.
He's a gun.
Move on Malaka, but he's a gun.
You can be a Malaka and a good football player, man. Brendan Favola was a great football player.
Yeah, but he was a Malaka, wasn't
big
he?
Big time.
Look, we'll be honest, right? So we recorded maybe about...
What happened, man?
Halftime of the West Coast game, right? But I didn't expect this, mate. I'll tell you that much. I did not expect that. A 35-point win.
West Coast have beaten Melbourne.
But they've beaten Melbourne, bro. And look, man.
Wow.
Jake the Snake Waterman on his return, 5 goals. Can you finally admit that Jake the Snake Waterman is that guy?
He is that guy, man. He's been unbelievable.
Mate, legit. 13 marks is ridiculous. This forward line, Oscar Allen isn't even in it yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's running out there with Jack Darling, kicking 3, who can hardly walk anymore.
Dude, this team, Harley Reid is this team.
When
he plays well, he played an amazing game. 2 goals, 21 possessions, 136 ranking points, and they win. Yeah.
Oh my God. Mate, I almost traded him this week. And a lot of people did trade him.
I traded him.
Yeah, Georgie traded him. And you look at his heat map, mate. Look at his heat map. Look at the heat map. Nice and like central heat map. Look at those inside midfield.
For people that can't see, he's basically just in the center square.
Yeah. Now look, there's things around the ground, but the red part of the heat map is right in the middle. Man, was he. How many clearances did this guy get, man?
No, I don't know.
He got 7 clearances. That's excellent, man. For a first-year player, 440 metres gain. About 200 of that was from that goal that he kicked.
That goal was insane. Oh, what first-year player, what like 10-game player kicks a goal like that?
Mate,
Dacos didn't do that in his first 10 game. No way.
Nah, man. At this stage, like if you looked at like Dacos's, you know, season, was it not last year but the year before, they were saying, oh, man, he can't play contested, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, we've quelled that.
Yeah, he can play.
You know, he can play contested, but Harley Reid, there's been no such talk about that, man. There's what's the fault in his game?
Well, wow, that's a massive loss from Melbourne, man. You'd have them as a lock for that win. And, you know, in a hotly contested top eight, you can't be losing games like that.
No. Hey, what did Gorn get?
113 ranking.
That's fine. I'm happy with it. Look, it's not ideal because both Georgie and I captained him, but that's fine. That's fine. The thing I want to see right now, because I just noticed that Cripps had 100 dream team, right? I want to see, did Dino get the 2,000?
He did.
Oh, my. 2,061. Oh, my God. Oh, my. He finished off with 113 from Gorn, 101 from Cripps, and 99 from Salem, who we picked up this week. Dino, for someone who did no research during the pre-draft process, he might have researched the top his first pick, which was Gorn, and it was an excellent pick. Shout out to Dino, man. He's doing
that's
really
a plus
well.
Plus 2,000 score in fantasy draft, which is very, very, very hard.
Yeah, for context. Yeah, that's excellent, man.
And West Coast just beat Melbourne.
Yeah. Takeaways? I guess we didn't watch, so we don't
I think it's the read factor, man.
Yeah, look, that's probably the biggest impact a single player first year player for sure. Like, who, you probably have to go back and to the 50s and 60s, the generational Lee Matthews or something came in, Gary Ablett Sr. comes in and they start doing stuff like this. It's historic.
Yeah.
It is historic.
Look, I'm very happy for West Coast that they've managed to kind of turn their season around. At the start of the year, you think this is like the worst team ever. Turns out that's North Melbourne. That's the worst team ever.
Yeah, that's very true.
But not even, Yo's not even playing, man.
See, and that's the thing. I thought that we were saying last week that we thought Yo was like a 30, 40 point swing.
Yeah.
So if he did play, that would have won by 70. You know, that is just, man.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
Look, it is still three wins. So it's only three wins. But still, these types of wins, man.
It's huge.
It is, man.
Melbourne would be kicking themselves that lost that
was an opportunity for me. And you know what? One lady from work was telling me, Sarah, she was saying, they've never won as NAM.
Really?
They've never won as NAM.
Wow.
They just got to drop the NAM stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool and it's easy to say for us because, you know.
It's easier than Yalaputi.
Yalaputi. what else we got? Yeah. Walyalup, Kuwana, and Yuroki. That's, you know, they're hard. And even the West Coast one, Walit Marawa. Tough names to say. The NAM's easy, but still they can't win with NAM. NAM supporters would be filthy.
Yeah.
They would be filthy.
That's it, man.
That's kind of
that's the round.
We've gone through it. Wrapped
that's
it up
upset
nicely.
That's upset of the round.
100%, 100%, man. Do we? I feel like we could do tips, right?
Let's do tips,
but man. is there? Because Dano had a little idea that we do tips in a separate episode and we sort of preview the next round a little bit. Or should we just? You know what? Don't
is
worry
tips
about
not
that.
A preview?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But we do it like in a separate video. You know what I mean? Or do we just do the tips now just so we can get it?
I think we just do the tips.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll organize another time. Don't worry.
We might be some other time.
Exactly. There might be a little restructure to the videos.
Matt's is cooking.
Let him cook, man. Let him cook. So the first game, let's see. All right. Let's see if the Bulldogs can cook against Sydney. It is at Marvel.
I'm unlikely to tip against Sydney.
Yeah, no. We're going with Sydney. There's no doubt about that one. The next game is in Perth. It is Walyalup versus Collingwood, which is Freo versus Collingwood.
Yeah. Do you want to do an upset?
Oh, Georgie's upset of a round.
No, let's go Collingwood.
No, fair enough. Yeah. The next is North Melbourne. Do you want to do an upset? North Melbourne versus Port at Blundstone Arena.
What chance do you give you guys?
Look, it's hard to give us a chance. I just want to see competitive football.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like Sydney, like, oh, there was a point against Adelaide a few weeks ago. I'm like, oh, mate, we could win this one. I can't pull myself through that mentality anymore. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's not worth it.
You got to protect yourself.
Exactly. You know, protect the soul. You know what I mean? So we're going to go with Port. We move over. So Carlton versus Gold Coast at, you know, Dewey Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, I think
so.
I'm going to back us in for this one.
Yeah, no. Nah. And look, it's a needed win. You guys are at the eight now.
I know.
It's 10th versus 8th.
Mm.
So Geelong versus GWS at GMHBA. That's actually that's an interesting game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Geelong.
Same.
Because I think they're going to get all their good players back. You know, all the old farts who didn't want to go up to Darwin. They're going to get all those guys back. And GWS is just out of form. You know, you're going to go up against, you know, Gold Coast. You're going to come up against the Geelong at home who are going to be pissed and really wanting to win. So
I agree with that.
Richmond versus Essendon at MCG. Obviously, we go with Essendon, you know, unless Richmond get all their good players back in one hit. I don't think it's going to happen. Miracle recoveries.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hawthorn versus...
Is that Dreamtime, is it?
Yeah, it's the Dreamtime game, yeah.
Does that make a difference?
No. No, well, come on, man. Come on, man.
Richmond
have been like North Melbourne level bad.
Yeah.
They just lost by 120 points. If they can bring some competitiveness to this game, shout out to them, but I cannot see it happening. Yeah. I really can't.
Essendon's got an easy draw, man, I swear.
Yeah, man.
Which good team have they beat, man?
GWS. But then GWS out of form. They just lost to the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the Bulldogs aren't good.
Well, even Carlton beat GWS as well. Well,
there you go. And they're not a good team.
No, they suck.
What's it called? The next game is Hawthorn versus Brisbane at Marvel Stadium. That's an interesting game.
I think Brisbane will win this one. I think they've got a bit of confidence from that win that they just had.
Oh, yeah. And now, again, Nam versus Iroki. I feel bad. I don't know if I'm butchering these names, but like
you've got a Japanese vibe to it. You've got a Japanese accent.
I'm not gonna do
a better job. So
yeah, nah. Look, I'll say I'll do a better job next week, but I think I should probably just cut trying the names. You know? Yeah. But yeah, look, Nam haven't won a game as Nam. Melbourne haven't won a game as Nam. Surely this is the time where they have to.
Saints haven't shown. They haven't looked likely to win anything, man. It's not like they've had some games where they've scored and they've moved it freely. They've just been shit every round. So I just expect the same shit from them.
Yeah, and that's fair. And the last game is an interesting one. Adelaide, in Adelaide versus Harley Reid.
Versus Harley Reid. How can you bet against Harley Reid at the moment, man?
Adelaide are a top side in Adelaide.
Yeah.
But look, we can't rule out West Coast anymore. You know, they're going to be competitive every week.
They're a genuinely competitive team, so good on them for recovering like that. But yeah, I think Adelaide clearly will win this one as a response.
Mm. Interesting. I've scrolled to the bottom of the app of all the games, and it comes up with the warning for gambling. You know, if you need... I like that. That's a good spot to put it, you know what I mean? Because, you know, right now... Because I was looking at the odds and stuff as well, and then I'm like, oh, don't bet, Matza. You're going to lose, because There was one. I'm gonna, you know, divert to one of my tips, not tips. One of my multis, right?
Yeah.
So it was a bunch of different stuff. It was last week, West Coast versus Collingwood, right? And it was like Jimby 15 disposals when he'd been doing, you know, shit. Harley Reid 15 disposals. There was a bunch of different things, right? You know, one of them was McGovern to get 20 disposals, right? That was the last one.
Yeah.
He gets injured in the third quarter, early in the third, because his elbow went into his rib, right? Went to hospital. He's fine the next week, right?
Yeah.
So he faked it basically. So I didn't get my money. And it would have been, I think it was a $5 bet, it would have been like $70 back. Not that I need it, but it would have been nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, and someone's got to pay for these mics and stuff. You
That's
know?
Right.
The mortgage. I know. You know, who's going to pay my
inflation?
You know, yeah. How am I going to get milk for my kid? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Mate, McGovern took food off my plate. he took bread off my table. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You can't be doing that, man.
I know. Come on, Jesse McGovern. But no. You know, it doesn't really matter. That was I started having that.
Moral
one
of the story is
I got robbed. Matt got robbed.
You got robbed.
Right, I think there's right like in front of me.
I think there's 150 million Powerball this week, man.
Oh, there we go. See, I never do Tesla.
Neither do I, because I don't think I'm going to win, because statistically I'm not.
But yeah, apparently statistically you're more likely to get hit by lightning, is what I've heard.
Right.
I don't know if that's a legit thing, but it has like it's like a bit of a buzz, you know, type word. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, you might as well, you know. Well, you know what I mean? It's just something that old people say.
Yeah, look, if I do win the 150 million, you won't see me ever again. So
look, it makes me think. Well, like if you did have the money, what would you do? Because for me personally, I'd quit my job and I would like, you could just be a content creator.
Yeah,
like
you'd be a content creator.
I'd love it because I enjoy this, first of all. I enjoy this. But then I also enjoy, like I'm a music person. I'm a video game person. So like, I think I would just be like, you know what, man? Because you got to do, I'll probably do a lot of traveling first. But then I'm like, you know what? Let's do something for me, something that I enjoy.
Oh, 100%. I think I'd go buy a country in Africa and become their king.
Fair, bro. Hey, look, you can do it. You can do it, bro.
Get them to carry me around in one of those things where,
yeah,
those where you lie down and they've got the sticks and like people carrying you.
King George, man. Yeah. He has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
That's right.
King George, you know,
Fire Lord George.
So I'll be Fire Lord George,
Fire Lord,
if I win,
and then I'll be the Phoenix King.
Yeah, a little Avatar reference there. If you know, you know.
If you know, best, you know.
That's the GOAT show. That is the GOAT show. If you're not, if you want to see something other than footy, it's Avatar, you know, and Death Note. those three
Death
things.
Death Note and Avatar are sponsored by this podcast.
Nah, bro, like, just view it. I don't care. I don't care how old you are, view it. Death Note's crazy, man.
Yeah, if you're not watching this podcast, right, you should only be viewing two other things.
Yeah. Avatar
and Death Note.
And Death Note. That's it. Anyway, we'll end on that.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you on the next one.
Bye. The West Coast put it into the hotspot, into the 50. And Harley Reid! Oh my! Soaring from the heavens! You're wondering if the hype was real!